I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Tara Early and Jay Ritter. They are with the Horse Shelter. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. It's really nice of you to have us today.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It's great to have you both, and it's great to be talking this year once again about the Horse Shelter. In advance of the event that's happening tomorrow, it's called Give Me Shelter, Trainers Rally for Rescues, and it's a kind of rodeo. It's happening at the rodeo grounds in which rescued horses are given basically a second chance, but we're going to talk about that in a second. First, let's talk about what the Horse Shelter is and how it began.
Sure. You know, we were founded in 2000 by Jan Bandler. We are dedicated to rescuing and rehabilitating abused, abandoned, and neglected horses, and we service the entire state of New Mexico.
That's a big job.
It is a big job. You know, we have anywhere between 60 to 80 resident horses on site. We've got about 50, 60 acres now, Jay,
yep,
with the ability to expand up to 300 acres.
Yep.
And some of our residents are going to be there full time. Others have tremendous potential, and that's what we're finding out with the Trainers Rally for Rescue, is getting our trainers who volunteer 100 days of their time to put training on these horses, and then we do a demonstration and an adoption process, and it's absolutely, last year was just amazing. We had over 1,200 spectators at last year's event, and I will tell you probably 1,100 of them had tears in their eyes.
Well, I was one of those 1,100 who had tears.
That's great.
Yeah.
Took a friend down to that, and watching these horses, I mean, it's one thing to go to the rodeo and see amazingly trained creatures,
exactly,
and that's a beautiful thing too.
Yep.
But to see these horses who had been abandoned, who were essentially orphans, who had come into the loving care of somebody, of you guys, and then a trainer, then the trainer has the horse for 100 days. And in a way, the most poignant ones for me were when the horse did what seemed like relatively simple things, but they did them with so much sort of loving confidence.
Confidence and a willingness to
perform.
To perform, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And you have to understand how these horses come to us. I mean, some of them are turned over by livestock. Some of them, we get phone calls. We have to go out and investigate to pick them up. But they're all abused and, you know, 1,200 pounds underweight. We've had them come in sad, sad situations. And through the loving care of our ranch managers and the group of people that work on this board, they're given a real second chance.
And our volunteers, too.
Oh don't even. That, without the volunteers, we're dead in the water. I mean, that's just, it amazes me when I go out and see these people that are willing to give their time and energy. And we're out of distance. I mean, you have to make an effort to come visit us. And they're there day in and day out. They're fabulous people. Every last one of them, fabulous.
So tell us more about where these horses come from and how they ended up in dire straits.
You know, sometimes
everyone's a different story.
Yeah, everyone. A lot of it, not a lot, a portion of it is the sign of the economy,
mm-hmm,
where people just can't care for them and they abandon them. We've gotten them off the streets of Gallup, literally, where they were pulled out of a truck somewhere, cut loose, and they're wandering around the town.
We had one, about a month and a half ago from Chama,
right,
that was just wandering around the streets. Just
people can't feed them and they don't know what to do. And
I think they're also a little bit embarrassed,
yep,
about not being able to care for them. And so rather than turn them in, they just let them go.
Right.
Yeah.
Do people microchip horses the way they do dogs? Is it possible to find out where they come from?
The ones that we get.
Yeah.
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 No.
Not the ones that we get. It would be a nice thing, but
yeah,
but
it's
that
probably the
happen.
Ones we own, not the ones we get. You know, that kind of thing.
I mean, but then when you have them, is that a common practice
to microchip them? Not currently.
No,
it
not
isn't.
Currently. You know,
they're registered.
We still live on donations.
Yep.
And you know, the expense of keeping anywhere from 50 to 80 horses is enormous.
Yeah.
So,
well, for instance, our feed bill alone is $100,000 plus.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. A year.
Yeah. I mean, this is. We need all the help we can possibly get. And the reason that we do this Give Me Shelter Challenge is that to make awareness that these horses all had a job at one given point before all this occurred to them. And we rehabilitate them as best we can and put them out there. And if and so they're there. All these horses are wonderful opportunity to adopt a semi-trained horse. You still got to put time and energy in them. But 100 days, and they're back in the saddle again.
Well, and aside from the trainers, Rally for Rescue, we were able to adopt, what is it, Jay, about 13 horses last year?
We adopted 50% of our herd.
Yeah.
We came under Mike and Michelle Woodford run our ranch. Beth Longenacre runs our training program. And this is something we've worked towards. With the current staff that we have, now, we're still at 80 horses, but when they originally came, we were 90-plus horses. And through the process that we have gone through and the awareness that the public has, we have moved 50% of our horses out. But, of course, those slots are filled almost as rapidly as they're cleaned up.
Yeah. Having a facility for 80 horses, I mean, it's not like, it's, you know, it's enough to have an animal shelter where you're caring for dogs and cats.
Right.
But the facilities that you need for dogs and cats are minuscule compared to what you need for horses. How
yeah,
did
they're
you
a little
do that?
They're a little larger.
They're a little larger and their needs to run.
Jan Baylor, who I was very lucky to know, she just had this calling in her life. She was truthfully a debutante out of New York, and she came out here. And she liked animals better than people any given day of the week. And she saw this vision, purchased this land, and started to create this facility. This is all something that she did. She saw a need.
Her vision.
And
yep.
filled it. This was her vision. And we're all extremely sorry that she never really lived long enough to see how it operates today.
How long ago was that?
2000. Yeah, and it really began before that. But and you would go out there, and her partner, Bob, who still lives out there, you'd see him building the barn out of adobe. I mean, this is just a labor
of love.
Yep. So you have these horses, and what kind of rehabilitation do they sometimes need when they come in? I mean, talking about, it's sort of inconceivable on human scale to think about what 1,200 pounds underweight even means.
Well, and I mean, 1,200 pounds underweight, you look at them and they are skin and bones. And it's not only just the visual, it's what the lack of nutrition, what it does to their minds, to their bodies, to their bones. It's
horrible.
An incredible process to get them back.
And we are under rules and regulations from the state. So the first thing they're done is they're put in quarantine and evaluated. They have to spend X amount of time in quarantine. We're very lucky to have on our board Berkeley Chasen, Dr. Berkeley Chasen. And she'll come out. We examine these horses. I can't tell you they all make it. I wouldn't be telling you the truth.
Yep.
Some we bring there just to put them down so they won't be taken to a slaughterhouse. And that's a big concern that we really can't, the subject we can't get into. But and we slowly but surely, through love and encouragement, bring these horses back. And some of them live there permanently. Some of them come in old, they've been abandoned, and they're out there on these, living on the Sierra, hanging out, and that's what they do. The rest we try to move on.
When they live there permanently, it's kind of like a horse hospice.
It is.
Absolutely.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
And so what do those horses do all day? Do they get ridden? Do they kind of run
around? It depends on what their abilities are. I mean, some will never be able to be ridden. Some will just be in the outdoor pens. They will, they'll have feed and water and farrier care and vet care if they need it.
Yeah, and people come and visit. Yep. And
others have a great amount of potential.
Right. We have some of the horses that are adopted as companion animals. There was some woman outside Las Vegas, a group of people that believe in the Native American way, and they actually have these horses roaming on their property, and they have that wind and earth and horse thing going on, and they just live their life there. They're gigantic pets. Yeah. And those horses can't be ridden. I mean, some of them, have issues. And people come, and the hearts of people to do this amazes us. Just amazes us.
Yeah.
You know, we have an annual equine dinner at Restaurant Martine that happens in January. And
our wine dinner.
It's, yeah, equine.
Equine dinner.
Wow.
And it's fantastic. It's all underwritten by Jennifer and Martine Rios. And I'd say we get about 100 and some every year, and it's amazing how generous those people are that come. This year's dinner generated
$47,000.
$47,000 and the ability to have up to 15 trainers sponsored.
Right.
So we have a great following. We are extremely grateful for those people that come and support the horse shelter. And then we have our auction in May, which this year we netted over $100,000,
$115,000,
which is the largest we ever have.
That's
the
huge.
Generosity of people towards horses.
I remember some of the original May events, that's what we call it, that generated $40,000. And again, I'm very sad that Jan Bandler didn't get to see what went on. She only had a board because they made her. I mean, that was the only reason. And now we are 10 strong. And each and every person on our board has a job. I personally run the facility. I oversee the facility. Beth Longenacre does the training program.
Training program.
Carol Berger and a small group of people oversee the May event. They come out of the woodwork, and they are able to do that once a year.
And we have so many local residents that donate anything from artwork to tack to vacations and trips and all different kinds of items that they donate to our shelter.
So let's talk about the event that's happening tomorrow, Saturday. We're talking to Tara Early and Jay Ritter of the Horse Shelter. So Gimme Shelter, Trainers Rally for Rescues. You take some of these horses that have been rescued, that have been rehabilitated so that they're kind of ready to learn and do some
work. These horses are feral. What happens, it's it amazes me, this event. I mean, Tara's more involved in the nuts and bolts of the thing than I am. But what occurs is we get trainers to volunteer, and then we get sponsors to put up the funds. But these horses are feral. They are maybe halter trained. That's it. And they go out there, and they pick numbers out of a hat. And we have a sea of horses. And they go out, and first they get about an hour or so to go out and take a look and do whatever they do. And they pick
it's a random draw.
Random draw out of a hat, thank you. And
so a trainer gets matched with a random horse.
No.
The trainer picks
a number.
Then
picks a horse.
Which equates to the horse. So in other words, if I draw number one, then I get to have first pick of my horse.
I see.
Yeah. And that's it's a lottery is what it is. And they take these horses. And good news this year is most of them loaded on the first day. Last year, they had to come back. I mean, it's tough because they're feral horses, and they take them. I'm in awe of what they do. And hopefully everybody else after. I don't know how to stress the point that these horses were not mounted, period. They're fed, maybe halter trained, like I said.
And so then a trainer has them for 100 days. How do you recruit the trainers?
You know, we've been really lucky in that, and Beth Longenacre has been largely responsible for recruiting the trainer. She's a trainer herself.
Yeah.
So she is very connected with that whole trainer network, as is Clint Mortensen, who sits on our board and is one of the trainers this year. He was one of the trainers last year that won the event. So they go out and solicit the participation of these trainers. And, you know, it's interesting, Mary Charlotte, last year after the event, we did a debriefing with the trainers, and we had comments from well-seasoned trainers such as, what a wonderful, beautiful experience it was, how honored they were to be able to have the opportunity to work with these horses. I think it was a really enriching experience for each one of the trainers, and they do it to give back to the horses. It's, after all, their profession, you know.
And so these horses then are trained to a really amazing degree that people can see if they go down to the rodeo grounds tomorrow and check out what this looks like. Then those horses are eligible for adoption?
Correct.
Yes.
Yep.
Of course, we're looking for money all the time. I would lie to you and tell you we're not. So we will auction off the opportunity to adopt that horse. You still have to qualify by our rules. The horses go back to the trainer to make sure the potential adoptees match the horses so that we don't end up, you know, with a train wreck, which all of us ride, and we know that can happen even with the well-seasoned horse. And at that point, they can continue to train with the trainer if they'd like. If not, they can. If we agree to it, they meet our qualifications. We examine where the horse is going to go. I mean, we're very cautious about who we give these horses to. They can take and work them on their own or continue with another trainer. But tomorrow you will see they'll bring some of the graduates out.
From last year's
event. From last year. You'll be amazed.
Yep.
I promise you, you'll be amazed.
And last year, some of those trainers established such an incredible bond with their horse that they actually adopted the horse themselves and took them back to the barn.
Yeah, we're figuring they didn't have enough horses. So they took them back.
When you try to make a match, I mean, again, my sort of criterion for everything, like the only kind of animal I really know well is dogs. With dogs, you can make matches between certain kinds of dogs and certain kinds of people.
Yes.
If you get a Jack Russell Terrier, you better be ready to walk it every single day throw balls and things
Absolutely.
Like that. And other kinds of animals are dogs are good for other things. How do you make a good match between a horse and a person?
You know, it's not unlike a person and a dog. I mean, each horse has a personality. It has a skill set. It has a level to which it can be developed. There is... I think probably one of the most important things is that bond between the horse and the individual and the trust that either happens or doesn't happen. You know, and that's one of the reasons we have such a selective process is to make sure that that horse is going into the best possible situation and has the best possible chance of succeeding.
Do you ever see that situation where a horse and a person kind of meet each other and it's love at first sight?
Oh, absolutely.
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 Yep. Absolutely.
You know, horses are so intuitive. If you're having a bad day and you get on a horse, I mean, I ride. I mean, you get on this horse. If you're having a bad day, the horse will help out. If you're having a really bad day, don't get on the horse.
That's true. But
because they sense that. It's amazing to me. You know, they get on and they have that sense of what's going on. If you're nervous, this horse is nervous.
Yeah.
So you got to sit back, relax, and the rest of the day needs to go away.
Yep. And sometimes there never is that bond, or sometimes there is a mismatch. And that's something that we really want to be very careful about.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if it doesn't work out, what happens?
They come back to us.
With
every single animal, we have first right of refusal. These animals are not for sale. You know, you can't take some of our horses because you want to make a profit off them. They have to come through us. And if they're sold or if they go on to live somewhere else, it has to be, we have to go out and do exactly the same thing again.
We have to vet where they are.
We have to qualify the new owner.
Yeah.
Now, how did each of you get into this work? You're both lifelong horse people.
Jay doesn't have a job anymore, a real job.
Jennifer, the Rioses and myself are family friends forever. And when Jennifer's mom died, I have a daughter that campaigned horses. So I knew Jan Baylor not only because she was Jen's mom, but I would see her at the horse events. And her sister, Willa, was the horse person. So it started off, and Willa started to do this, and she moved on to other things. And Jennifer came to me and said, "Will you help me?" And I have no room to say no to her. I mean, we're that close. So that's how it started for me, and my life is the horse shelter. I mean, it's not really. I own the car washes in town, but I do for a living. But I'm constantly, you know, and it's a labor of love. I have no complaint in the world. We laugh about it because that's always my comment. But that's how I got started. I think you were strong-armed by somebody, weren't you?
Well, my husband and I have been coming to Santa Fe for about 30 years. And we had bought our first second home maybe 28 years ago. And it took us 28 years to move here permanently, unfortunately. But we are here now. We love it. And one of our board members, Carol Berger, asked if I would be so kind to join the horse shelter. And, of course, I ride and love horses and have three myself. So it just seemed like a natural fit.
Yeah. So the horse shelter is on the web at thehorseshelter.org. And once again, let's talk about the event this weekend. It's from 10 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon.
Right.
It's totally free.
Yes.
It's free to the public.
It's at the rodeo grounds. It's the second annual Gimme Shelter event.
Yes.
And if somebody comes and they fall in love with a horse...
We hope they
do.
We
have plenty of horses. If you're one of the horses you see are because this is going to be an auction that may get pricey. We have a set fee for adoption. We have a whole criteria you go through. But we have a ton of wonderful animals looking for a new home.
So if you come tomorrow, you will see these 9 horses that have been under 100 days of training. And you may have an opportunity to adopt one of those. And if you don't, like Jay says, we have, what, 80-some horses now in residence?
And
many of which are adoptable.
Yeah, you'll see what's possible. I mean, that's really the key here. And you know, people have to, horses, and I'm not going to even say not like dog. Even if you take any kind of animal you take on, you have to have a space in your home and your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Horses are a little more expensive to keep than a dog or a cat. So, you know, that has to be a realization that it's not just, it's not something that's flighty. Oh, I want a horse and then you
it's
have
a long-term commitment.
It's a long-term commitment.
Yep. Well, and you have to have the space and
the
facilities.
Facilities
and,
absolutely.
And you have
and
to have trainers.
Skills, yeah.
And, it, you know, it's from, you tell me if I'm wrong. For years of riding horses, it's never the horse's fault. Just so you know that. It's always the rider's
it's
fault.
It's true. Yeah.
That's right.
It's operator error.
It's always operator error.
Yeah.
So you never stop being trained, that's for sure.
Tara Early and Jay Ritter are with The Horse Shelter, thehorseshelter.org. We will see you tomorrow at the rodeo grounds here in Santa Fe.
Please come visit us. Please, please, please.
And we'd certainly like to just thank some of our sponsors. We have Lexus of Santa Fe and Land Rover, San Marcos Feed, Santa Fe Motorsports.
Sports, right?
And we definitely want to thank all of our trainers.
And sponsors. We have other sponsors.
And other sponsors. And
just put up money for the horses.
Yeah. You can expect entertainment and exhibitions and Western merchandise and
food and drink.
Food and drink. Aside from the main attraction.
Of course.
Well, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you
Mary
again.
Charlotte.
Bye-bye.